This is the B part of Jeremiah and Prophecy, Part 4. We have been looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, where we find Jeremiah the prophet giving his prophecy of the 70 years that would elapse from the time that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, along with the temple, and the people of Israel, that is Judah, taken captive to the land of Babylon, and then finally, in the time of Cyrus, king of Persia, they would be able to go back and rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Jeremiah was the one who introduced the 70 years in the first place. We find that Zechariah mentions it twice, Daniel mentions it twice also, and then he establishes even a greater rule with the 70 weeks prophecy. That 70 weeks prophecy is amounts to a series of sabbatical years, just exactly as we find here in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. So this matter of producing sabbatical years, or understanding about them from a chronological point of view, is very important in comprehending the basic prophecies of Jeremiah, who was the axial prophet. And let me tell you this, if you do not understand about sabbatical years, your comprehension of Ezekiel and of Daniel, and even in the New Testament, reaching into the book of Revelation, will be jaundiced. You will not be able to put it together in a proper scenario. The sabbatical years are very significant. And here is Jeremiah referring to them. He is saying that from the time of Solomon on down, they had not kept the sabbatical years. But if you go back to Leviticus chapter 25, this is in the time of Moses. Just before the Israelites went into the land of Canaan, they were told by Moses that once they got into the land and they started to harvest their crops, that they were to allow every seventh year to lie fallow. Now, that's only in the land of Israel, only in the land of Canaan. It was not to be used by the Jews when they were in Egypt, when they were in other areas of the world, in their diaspora. But in the land of Canaan, they were, as long as they were there, to allow every seventh year to be fallow. That is, that they would not plow the fields, plant the grain, harvest the grain, or anything of that nature in a commercial way. They were able, during that year, to pick grain that would come up itself. But on the other hand, they were not to have any commercial harvests, whatever, of any of the grain crops or anything coming from the land during that seventh year, called the sabbatical year. The reason it's called a sabbatical year is that it was to allow the land to have, in Palestine only, to have a rest from farming every seventh year. It had prophetic significance to it, as I will show you a little bit later on when we come to the New Testament. But we find that it was Moses who introduced these sabbatical years to the Israelites. He told them, even before they went into the land of Canaan, that they were to keep the sabbatical years once they got there. If you'll turn with me to Leviticus chapter 25, you will find where Moses told the Israelites about these sabbatical years. Now, they should have been being kept in the time of David, but they were not. They should have been in the time of Solomon, but they were not. And in the later kings of Judah, all the way down to the time of Jeremiah, they should have been kept, but they were not. In fact, God only went back, however, to the time of Solomon. While the kings of Israel were on the earth, coming from Solomon and David, to show his grievance regarding these sabbatical years. He did not go back to the time of Moses or Joshua, only back to that 490-year period. But he said the land is going to rest for 70 years, it's going to be desolate of people, and it's going to lie fallow, and no one is going to farm it for that entire period of time. That was to fulfill what Moses said back here in Leviticus 25. Let's look at it, because most people, they have avoided these sections of Scripture. They have not understood them. No wonder that they cannot comprehend what the chronological aspects of the Scripture are all about. Because we find that chronology is based upon these very fundamental facts that we find here given by Moses in chapter 25. He said, "The Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying," now this is the Lord speaking, telling Moses to tell the children of Israel about these important points, "speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. That means a rest unto the Lord. Now, that wasn't to occur before they got into the land. It was to occur once they got into the land. And indeed, it was to occur once they started to farm the land, and they had peace all around. He goes on to say how this was to be put into effect. Verse 3, 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall neither sow thy field nor prune your vineyard. That which grows of its own accord of thy harvest, you shall not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is the year of the rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be food for you, yes, but how? For you and your servant, and for your maid, and for your hired servant, and for the stranger that sojourns with you, and for your cattle, and for the beasts that are in your land, shall all the increase thereof be meat or food. What he says is, it's all right to eat that which springs up of itself, but you cannot harvest the land. You cannot plow the land. You cannot prune the grapes. You cannot harvest the wheat, the barley, or the grapes, or make wine from them at all. Every seventh year, now you can do it all 6 years, but you can't do it the seventh. Then he had one other stipulation, however. Let's go on, because there was another part of this law which was very important to Moses. And we find that Isaiah mentions it and others mentioned it, and also in the book of Revelation. Verse 8, and you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years, that means 49 years, unto you, 7 times 7 years. Isn't it interesting that in the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, that is divided into 4 parts? The first part is 7 weeks, 49. That's this part right here. Followed by 62 weeks, and then followed by a final week, a 70th week, which was divided into half, 3.5 years on one side, 3.5 years on the other. Now, that's in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 and in the 70 weeks prophecy. But he says here that in 49 years, it says, in fact, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then shall you cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all the land, and you shall hallow the 50th year, the year following the 49th year. Now, the 49th year is a sabbatical year, followed by a jubilee year, which is exactly the same as a sabbatical year. 2 years running, you're to allow now the land to lie fallow. You know, that can be rather disastrous, can't it, if you have some droughts in the previous 6 years? Very definitely, it means you've got to pay or rely upon God to come to your rescue in a situation like this. No economist on earth today would recommend such a thing, let me tell you. But God was telling, through Moses, the ancient Israelites what to do. Now, he does have a stipulation, which I'm going to give you in a few moments, that most people have overlooked entirely. Do you realize that these 70 years of Jeremiah, where the land did not lie fallow, that it would perfectly all right for it to have been worked if God did not supply double the food in the 6th year. Or when a sabbatical year would come along called the Jubilee, he would give 3 years of food in that 6th year. I'll show that to you in just a moment. Do you know most people forget all about that? In actual fact, if God did not supply double food in the 6th year, do you know you did not really have to keep the 7th year? You could number it down, but you did not have to keep it. If he did not supply 3 years when a jubilee year would come, you know, for the 49th year, for the 50th year, now the 51st year, that was all right to go ahead and plant again. You see, he had to, but the thing is, when do these years start? If these years would have started in the springtime, That would have been a lot easier on the Israelites because they would have planted in the spring and harvested in the autumn. You see the point? But that's not when the sabbatical years commenced. That's not when the Jubilee years commenced. It says here in verse 9, they commence on the 10th day of the 10th day of the 7th month, on the month of Tishri, on the Day of Atonement. The fast day, that's in the autumn of the year. And because it causes, because it starts, or these days or years starts in the autumn of the year, it makes it even doubly severe. Because in a Jubilee year, you're not going to have any harvest for 3 solid years. And when you come to a Sabbath year, you're not going to have any harvest that you can use for 2 solid years. Now, he did give a way out. He did say that if I do not give you the double amount of a sabbatical year in the 6th year, it's not applicable. Or if I do not give you 3 times in the year before a Jubilee period, it's not applicable. The Jews, however, in the time of Christ, and in the 2 centuries before the time of Christ, they didn't pay any attention to that. They always kept the sabbatical years. However, knowing how impossible it was almost, and finally knowing that God did not give ever an abundance, a superabundance in the 6th year prior to a Jubilee year, they never kept it. It has never been kept in history. It will be kept sometime in the future. And when it is kept, we're going to find that Jubilee means that all people in the land of Israel will return to the property that they had before. All debts will be forgiven. All people will come back to to their land. In fact, it goes on to say in verse 11, a Jubilee shall be the 50th year. This also applies in a minor point every sabbatical year, but particularly in a Jubilee year. A 50th year shall be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which grows of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it, of the vine undressed, for it is a Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. Yes, in the year of the Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. It goes on to say that if you have been in debt to a bank, or to some other neighbor or something like that, that debt would be canceled every 50th year. Minors every 7th year, major every 50th. Now, the 50th year has never been kept in history. And the reason is because God has never provided that 3 years of harvest, abundance of harvest in the 6th year prior to a sabbatical year in a Jubilee period. It goes on to say here, in verse 18, whereof you shall do my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. You shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. They want to know, what shall we eat? Here's that verse I was giving you. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, in the Friday year, you see, before the Sabbath, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. He's talking here specifically about the year prior to a Jubilee year when you have a 50th year as well in there. And it says, if I give you that extra abundance, you'll be able to use the old fruit until the 9th year. Until her fruits come in, and then you can eat the old store. So he had a way out for them. That's true. But the Jubilee has never been kept. And Jeremiah wasn't asking that the Jubilee be kept. But he was asking that the sabbatical years be kept. And during the period from the time of David on down, when the nation was top on earth, practically in the time of David and Solomon, they should have been keeping the sabbatical years. But they did not keep the sabbatical years. Now, maybe they had a way out in the sense, maybe God did not bless them in the 6th year. We have no way of knowing that. If he didn't, then the land Sabbath was not necessary to be kept. However, we have Daniel under inspiration of God, I should say Jeremiah under inspiration of God and backed up by Daniel, saying that the 70 years that they should have been keeping it, they did not. So God was going to allow the land itself to have a 70-year period so it could keep its sabbaticals, you see. Now, This is most important for us to realize, because this Jubilee year, which has never yet been kept, will be kept when Jesus Christ comes back the second time. He is going to restore to the Jews and to all Israelites everything that has been taken away from them since the time of Moses. He's going to give it back to them in the great Jubilee that is going to occur in the future. And we find the Apostle Paul, even in symbol, using the teaching of the Jubilee, and how that Christ himself, over in when he started his ministry, it's most interesting here in Luke chapter 6, when he was referring to Isaiah. This is Jesus, and he came to talk about what was happening with the beginning of his ministry, and this is the very first year of his ministry. It says that when he came through the back to his town, that he went and to the city of Nazareth, and there we find in the synagogue that people were listening to him, and he came to the place where it was found in the book of Isaiah, as you'll recall, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good tidings to the world and to the people and to restore all things. And he said, Jesus said, let it be known that this very thing has been fulfilled in your very ears. And he said that in chapter 4 of the book of Luke in verse 16. Here it is. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now this is Jesus reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty, like a jubilee, like a sabbatical year, them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year is a jubilee year. Here is Jesus reading that from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Jesus then, it says in verse 20, he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, that is the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And notice what Jesus said about this very scripture here, talking about a time of redemption, a time of liberty, a time of freedom, a time when they would get back their property that they had lost, or whatever. Verse 21, he, Jesus, began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And then he began to teach from that moment, that was in Nazareth, his gospel to the Jews back there during the time of his ministry. This section has been known for years by all theologians as a reference to the sabbatical years, and most particularly to a jubilee year that Jesus himself was going to introduce. And he says it would be the Spirit of the Lord that would perform these things, but it would be done in the person of Jesus Christ. And he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, preaching of the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice it's a year of the Lord, a sabbatical year. Now, what year was this in Luke chapter 4 that is being mentioned here? He had just returned from Jerusalem. He had been to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. He had come through the land of Samaria and met the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember that scripture? In fact, I'm going to refer to it in just a moment because it's most important. And when he finally, after that event, went up to Nazareth, the first time he ever taught, it was his custom to read perhaps the lesson, but to say that this was a fulfillment of this prophecy, he had never done that before. And this was done in the year 27, beginning in autumn of 27 AD, and going through to autumn 28 AD. This particular time period here was in the late spring. It was near Pentecost time. And in actual fact, in the original Greek, it says in verse 16, that was on one of the days of the Sabbath. Sabbaths, one of the days of the Sabbaths, and in this case, it means a sabbatical year. It has to do with a year, in actual fact, in which these things are taking place. And the year 27 to 28 AD, beginning with the Day of Atonement in the year 27 A.D., and going to the Day of Atonement in 28 A.D., was a sabbatical year. And that's the very year in which Jesus started his ministry. You have wondered, perhaps, why is it that several thousand could meet with him in Galilee and places like that? Because they were off from work. They weren't farming that year. They were able to go with him wherever they could, and he would teach them. And that sabbatical year was significant because all of Daniel's chapter 9, verse 24 of the 70 weeks, every one of those is sabbatical years. Now look over here at John chapter 4, chapter 2, I should say, of John to begin with, because it's most important for you to understand this and how these sabbatical years of Jeremiah fit in with the ministry of Christ, and he himself waited until this particular time to begin to teach, because these sabbatical periods are most important, and they're most important for us today in the next few years in advance of us. And I'm going to give you some lectures in the future showing you just how important they really are. But let's pay close attention here. You know, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, it starts off by saying, in a third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. That is where he turned the water into wine, you remember? But his mother wanted him to do that. And he said to his mother, it's before the time. You remember how he said that? It's not time for me to do this yet. But he did it for his mother. And then going on in chapter 2, it says in verse 23, after he left Cana, which was up there in Galilee, it says he went to Jerusalem. And at the Passover in Jerusalem, which is the springtime at the full moon in the first month of the year of Nisan, when we have our Passover today, they had their Passover back there, it says in the feast day, he began to teach and many believed on him. Chapter 3. This is the period of time when Nicodemus, one of the members of the Sanhedrin, one of the ruling judges in ancient Israel of the 70 judges, came to him by night and asked him, Teacher, we know that you are a person come from God. And then he asked him all these questions about the Spirit and things like that. After Jesus mentioned all these things to Nicodemus, then we come to chapter 4, just after Passover is over. It says in verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Jesus never baptized anyone, but he let his disciples baptize for him on his behalf. He then left Judea. This is after the Passover in the springtime. And he departed again into Galilee. He was going north with his disciples. It goes on to say that he, in verse 5, he finally comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Joseph gave to his son Joseph. And he sat down at Jacob's well. The disciples went in to get food. A woman comes. And remember the discussion that took place between the Samaritan woman and Christ? And Christ said that Jerusalem was the place where the Messiah was to come from. And then the apostles came back, and they were amazed that he was talking to a woman. But then it's what he says to them. In the meantime, verse 31, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat some food, now here it is. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that has sent me, and to finish his work. Say you not, and there are yet 4 months unto the harvest? Now, this is in the middle of the barley harvest, but he says there's 4 months to go to the harvest. He's in Samaria. The Samaritans kept the sabbatical year. This is a sabbatical year in which no farming was being done. The farming could not be recommenced until the Day of Atonement, in the 7th month of the year in the autumn. And Jesus says here about the month of May, there are 4 months more before you can start the harvest. And he said, look at the fields, they're white, ready for harvest now. Yes, but they couldn't take a scythe to them because that was a sabbatical year. The whole of the New Testament and the Old, chronologically speaking, is based upon these chronological factors dealing with Jeremiah and the sabbatical years. We find here in this very chapter of John that the sabbatical year is the one that is used to commence the teaching of Jesus Christ to this world. Now, he left Samaria after this and went up to Nazareth. That's where he opened the book. That's where he saw the prophecies of Isaiah that I mentioned to you before. That's where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," quoting Isaiah 61. And that's where he says, "The year of the acceptable year of the Lord, I'm preaching to you to bring liberty to the world." He said that in the springtime, in the late springtime, at Pentecost Day, in this sabbatical year from 27 to 28. That sabbatical year, when you concludes the years to the Messiah that Daniel was talking about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, dealing with the 70 weeks prophecy. All of those 70 weeks are connected around these 70 years mentioned back there in the time of Moses, with in chapter 25 of Leviticus, referred to also by Jeremiah as a cardinal stepping off point for him and his prophecies, referred to twice by Zechariah, two times by Daniel, and we come here to Luke chapter 4 and also John chapter 4, and the sabbatical years are important even in a New Testament point of view. That's why, to keep all of these things in mind, Jeremiah becomes an axial prophet, because he's the one that introduces these keys to understand the overall chronology of the Old and the New Testament. And since this prophecy here was uttered in the year 27 to 28, that is the fulfillment of it, of a sabbatical year, clearly and plainly, that ends 4,000 years from the first Adam to the second Adam. If that's the case, we have 2,000 more years from that time there until the millennium takes place. 2,000 years from 27 to 28 AD brings us just to about 30 years in the future, to the year 2027 to 2028. Am I saying that is the time, absolutely, that the millennium will begin? No, not yet, because we do not understand chronology perfectly. But I want to say this much to you. We're on the right road, and we're getting close to understanding these things. When you put it all together from Jeremiah, you're going to be able to see that the chronology of the Bible is consistent, it's accurate, and we're right on the home stretch right now for Jeremiah's prophecies to come to pass regarding Shishak, that is, the overthrow of the Babylonian Empire and the beginning of the kingdom of God on this earth. We do not have many years left to go. This concludes the B-side of the lecture, Jeremiah and Prophecy, Part 4.